comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm hoping, Matt, that this will conjure up a little bit of the nicer weather and the sun that we're hoping for. That Brian, hopefully, maybe we'll bring back some with him. So when he's back next week, we'll get some excellent weather then. Because
where is the sun? Holy smokes.
I'm ready to go for anything warmer than 44 degrees or whatever it is currently out there.
Love the George Harrison, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is one of my favorite ones when I'd be producing Matt Flynn in the morning. I'd make sure that this one always played around the segments right when in the winter when the sun was still coming up pretty late in the morning. I'd be playing that one at the later sunrises because it's always a little fun. But hopefully it'll conjure some good weather here, get some sun out so that we can enjoy it as well. Like Brian down in Florida. But folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got my friend Matt Rothschild filling in for Brian this afternoon. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, as well as WTTN 1580 AM and the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha. So, Matt, we got a little bit one of the things that before we jump onto that, because you alluded to a subject that I do want to jump to, the maps here in the state of Wisconsin. But to kind of put a pin in the Gableman topic for the day, one of the things I'm learning about, and I wanted to have you on for this conversation, because you're a good governance guy. We refer to you as the vigilante of good governance, Batman, and it's shocking to me the things that we're finding out about this probe, because earlier in the week, Wisconsin Watch put out a piece talking about the coordination between Gableman and some private groups, not as part of the state probe officially, not part of the official probe that's being authorized by the Republican lawmakers in the state assembly and given $676,000 of taxpayer funds or more, because we know they're picking up the legal fees as well. And so can you shed a little light on this situation for me? Because to me, it seems like this shouldn't be allowable, but it's just happening right in front of our faces, and it's unfolding as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, it smells to high heaven, and congratulations to Wisconsin Watch for tying this all up. There is a right-wing attorney named Eric Cardall, who works for a right-wing Chicago law firm called the Thomas More Society, which was founded in 1997 primarily to go after the freedom to choose for women, and it was just a huge anti-abortion law firm for the longest time. Now, if you go to its website and look under news, almost everything has to do with Wisconsin and these ridiculous lawsuits that Eric Cardall has been bringing. He was the guy who in December 2020 was representing a group called Wisconsin Voters Alliance, which was just a collection of right-wingers.
And they have that alliance, Matt, has a billboard on South Park Street here in Madison, Wisconsin. They're paying for a billboard saying that the election was stolen in 2020, and it's right before the hospital on Park Street. Like it's there, and they're funding things like that. So that's what the group's doing.
Yeah, I'll look at it on my drive home.
There you go.
in this lawsuit, they were trying to prevent Vice President Pence from certifying Wisconsin's electoral college votes, and that effort got hosed down in federal court. And there was a federal judge who actually was so disgusted by Eric Cardall's work. That he issued an ethics complaint, filed an ethics complaint against him. And the connection is that Eric Cardall is working hand in glove with Gableman. Half of the work in Gableman's interim report, or half the pages of that interim report, relied on Cardall's work. And Cardall's not officially working for Gableman, but get this, he's renting space from Gableman at $3,000 a month.
So Gableman's making money on top of the fact that he's being paid by the state to conduct a review that has provided zero evidence of widespread voter fraud to date, 10 months in. He's being paid by the state to do that. He's also being paid by this right-wing private group to lease space to them and do work on his
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet deal, isn't it, if you can get it. So he's getting $11,000 from you and me and everyone else listening here, Wisconsin taxpayers, plus $3,000 a month. So he's getting $14,000 a month if you add that $3,000 a month of rent. And let me just read a little bit from this ethics complaint that Judge James Boasberg filed against Eric Cardall. He said that Eric Cardall, who's working with Gableman, was making baseless fraud allegations, making tenuous legal claims, was acting in bad faith, was exercising the flimsiest of legal arguments, was engaging in political grandstanding, and was seeking to target processes at the heart of our democracy.
So that's not a simple ethics complaint. That's a pretty thorough and detailed ethics complaint, if you'd ask me.
Yeah, and he said the obvious thing, which our three conservative, most conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court should have listened to, too, that the relief that this guy, Eric Cardall, was seeking was an outrageous relief, which would have been just throwing out the actual votes of people who voted in our election and overturning an election.
Yeah.
And so that's the guy who's working with Michael Gableman right now.
And totally just continuing to get the green light from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to continue on with this investigation, blowing past the end of April deadline, because I don't believe the moving truck showed up at Gableman's office earlier this week.
No, they didn't, and I was going to offer to help, too. But one of the nice things, actually going back to the Marquette Law School poll, is, you know, the a plurality of people polled on this reckon more than 2-1 disapprove of Gableman's performance here. But what's shocking to me is that more than 50% actually don't have an opinion one way or another. They're obviously not reading the newspapers. They're not listening to this show or this station.
We need to get more people listening to this show, Matt. That's what it is. Because
well, God bless Michael Crute for yes. keeping the this station on the air and for always looking to expand. Because you know, without it, fewer and fewer people would know the truth about Michael Gableman.
Well, and Brian and I try to make sure that we're telling these stories. And again, Brian, one of Brian's biggest things, and I don't want to put too many words in his mouth because he's not here, but Brian's like, if you want an investigation into this, that's fine, but pay a competent person to go and do this investigation, because Michael Gableman has been fumbling through this entire thing. Like, if I truly felt like there was voter fraud in the election, I would want the best and brightest to be put on that case. Michael Gableman is neither the best or the brightest, and the fact that Robin Voss continues to empower him to be the one that's leading this probe just shows me that they know there's no there. This is simply there for political purposes. They want to continue on for their base, telling them that the big lie exists without actually being able to prove that there was any widespread voter fraud.
Yeah, it's just a big sideshow, a huge circus. It's just performance art. It's not facts, certainly. It's a fishing expedition, and it's an excuse to keep galvanizing the base. I mean, one thing out of the Marquette Law School poll that was revealing was that the people in the Republican side who most think that the 2020 elections weren't up to hoyle are the ones that are most excited to go vote again. So that was the purpose, and that's the effect.
That's, yeah, I was going to say, they're achieving their goal in that exactly. And folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got my friend Matt Rothschild filling in for Brian this afternoon. And Matt, we got another caller on the lines. We got Carolyn and Madison calling in now. Carolyn, what's on your mind today?
I think we're going to need those ads from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign that ask people to vote. Two sports figures. I forget who they were. And so I'm asking all listeners to contribute to Wisconsin Democracy Campaign so they can afford to pay for some more ads.
You know, thanks, Carolyn. I'd love to run those ads. Again, it was Drew Holiday and Lopez. I was just in a meeting earlier this week where I was asking folks if they knew someone or some foundation that was able to give us some money so that we can run these ads some more. And I'm grateful for Crudy for running them as long as he did. But look, I think these are people to be commended. The athletes from the Bucks and the whole Bucks organization is very politically active group, and what these athletes were saying was people are trying to take your power away. Essentially Gableman and Voss, they're trying to take your power away. Don't let them get away with that. Register to vote, make sure you vote. You got to block that shot, was the Drew Holiday comment that I love the most. Block that shot, block that attempt to take your power away and take your voice away. So show up at the polls, make sure you're registered, and make sure you go exercise your right to vote, because there are folks in the state, and in this country who want to take our freedom to vote away. We're in the midst of an anti-democracy movement here in Wisconsin and across the country. In Wisconsin, it's headed by Gableman and Branchen
Rantham.
And Rampton, of course, and Sheriff Clark. And then
he's there too.
Nationally, it's Trump, it's Steve Bannon, it's Ted Cruz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. These are the folks who don't care about our democracy. They'd rather we lived in an authoritarian society. And that's what they're driving us toward. And so we need to recognize the threat that they pose and combat it.
Right. They want to choose their voters, and they want to be able to say when they win elections, they say, yay, we won. Give us a mandate to do whatever we want. And when they lose elections, they say, no, we were cheated out of this. We deserve to win even when they lose. And so it is some very uncertain ground that we're here, that we're approaching, Matt, because I love the Bucks spots. I love the team. I'm a huge Bucks fan. Really excited that they were able to close out the series last night against Chicago. And I love Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez that much more as players and advocates when they do spots like that for Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, because it shows that they not only are terrific athletes on the court, that they have views similar to mine outside off the court as well. And so it's definitely some uncertain ground that we're here in Wisconsin, and that segues pretty perfectly into talking about the maps, because now we're finally getting some analysis on this, Matt. I'm so excited, because I was on Monday on these airwaves talking about why is it taking so long for some of these write-ups to come out? Why is it taking so long for the case that was decided back on April 15th to be circulating as the big news that I thought it was, and Brian thought it was? I almost had an aneurysm yelling about it that Monday after the decision, because it was so frustrating. And now the statewide outlets like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel are finally writing up these pieces about what the Republican drawn maps are going to mean for the state over the next decade. And you alluded to it. There might be some chances that these maps might change if we get some different Supreme Court justice seats. But in all likelihood, these are the maps that we're going to deal with this fall and potentially the rest of the decade.
Yeah, Craig Gilbert did a good roundup and analysis in the Journal Sentinel this morning. Basically, he was saying, guess what? These maps are more rigged than the ones in 2011. It's not a surprise to me, because these were the maps that the Republicans drew. And I was in the Capitol at the hearing where Voss was testifying about the maps that he drew. And there he was on the stand, basically confessing to the crime of gerrymandering, because he said, yes, I did use partisanship when I was drawing these maps. By using partisanship, he meant that he was tilting the maps, drawing lines that would favor Republicans by shoving more and more Democrats into fewer and fewer districts, or splintering Democrats into rural areas so their voices got muffled. There was one in River Falls, a district up there, where they got rid of the Democratic district up there by carving the UW River Falls folks and sending them hither and yon into the hinterlands, where their voices are going to get drowned out by rural Republican voters.
And so the fact that these write-ups are coming now, I appreciate them. But at the same time, the fact that there's not more alarm bells being rung on the fact that these maps are indeed worse than the 2011 maps that were drawn in behind closed doors by gag order to not even talk about it. Like, nobody knew what those maps were going to look like besides Robin Voss. And correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I don't believe any individuals of the public spoke in favor of these maps at that hearing that you were referencing.
No, the only people who spoke in favor of them were Voss and Lemieux, who's head of the Senate for the Republicans. We had about 200 people in that hearing room. Dozens of people testified. We all testified against it. But they don't care what the people of Wisconsin think. In poll after poll, a vast majority of Wisconsinites want to ban gerrymandering. But because of gerrymandering, they don't have to answer to the people of Wisconsin. That's a real problem for our democracy.
Listen, Matt, like, if Democrats just find some better candidates and run them, they can out-rig the system, right? That's what
that's what Voss was saying on the stand, but in the next sentence he said, yeah, we use partisanship. We fix the maps for ourselves.
And Craig Gilbert has an excellent portion of the piece saying that he knows that these maps are going to – he knows the outcome of these maps regardless of the candidates that run. So that's – it's a pretty – moot point when you're going to argue that, and then the analysis shows, oh, it doesn't matter the quality of candidates. This is going to be the outcome in the districts.
Yeah, I don't quite accept his fatalism there, and I want everybody to go out and vote. And
fair
gerrymandering
enough.
Doesn't matter statewide anyway.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. We're going to be right back.